Amen.
Amen.
You know, every time people talk about what is God doing, if you're single and you need a husband, it's a miracle.
Amen.
If you really know the place of single people, you should be celebrating this miracle.
Amen.
Because that's what we've been praying for. For years, we keep praying, If you see the miracle God did for Sheena, I had to travel. I refuse, I won't travel, but because this is a spiritual daughter, I had to go and perform that wedding. Supernatural, the right people. And we've been praying it here every time, prayer requests for young people. This one is one of the most supernatural weddings ever. Just like that. I call it the just like that blessing. How did it happen? So that you're not wondering. When a man has been in love with you, even while you were young, you don't know until God prepares that man. The person this is marrying to, and they are, we just did the traditional marriage by Zoom, was a young man. His father is a pastor. All his siblings are all married. And he's right there and refused to marry. Gifted, wonderful young man. Humble. All these years waiting in the midst of all the people around him. Only to find out in the midst of the seasons, a few months ago, by divine appointment,
Amen.
God connected both of them. And they grew up together when they were in Nigeria. There's no better wedding like that.
Yes.
And this young man was really prepared for her. The father, the family, his parents were pastors. They all grew up together before they came to America. And he is the only one that will not marry because God prepared him for this.
Hallelujah.
And as God reunited them, it was like when the Bible talks about the years the locust has eaten. The canker was there and restored with overflow.
Amen.
Both of them, like, they've known each other. Now they are overflowing. And because of COVID, probably he would have been here. We're expecting him soon.
Amen.
So the two parents started the process. They've been talking. Family have been talking. Finally, during these 40 days,
Hallelujah.
We have consummated two weddings already.
Yes.
Amen. That's a breakthrough.
Amen.
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 Remember.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I thought you'd be more excited than this.
Amen.
Amen. Forgive Daisy for making it a surprise. It's just the main wedding has not taken place yet. This is just to share it as a testimony. The introduction, everything has been done. So we are going to do the real wedding at the right time. As for waiting for you. Amen?
Amen.
If you are single, say amen.
Amen.
If you are expecting, say amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of miracle. Amen. Divine amen. Relationship. Amen. It happened to me and Kesiah. Amen.
Amen.
The man or the woman ordained before you were born is the man of destiny. Hallelujah. How many people are celebrating also? Amen. Sharing this testimony to encourage all our people that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of physical men what God has prepared for you. These few people I've met, Sheena's husband, Daisy's husband, amazing people. Only God could preserve that. And the best is yet to come for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Don't worry, you all come to the, we'll, even if we zoom it, we'll make sure you all are here for the church wedding. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. We pray, we wait on you, and many times, questions are we. But Father, you're showing that Mount Zion is a miracle center.
Hallelujah.
You do the unusual.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
As we thank you, you multiply blessings.
Yes.
As we praise you and we appreciate you, you bring more.
Yes.
Father, we see more coming.
Amen.
And we give you all the praise.
Amen.
Our daughters, we have the best.
Amen.
Our young men, we have the best.
Amen.
Because it's from you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Okay. I have a very hard word to share. But it's exciting. It's a prophetic word. I'm sorry I can't go back so much to the 40 days and what is happening with the tent and everything. All I can say is repentance always precedes the move of God. The ministry and the anointing upon John the Baptist or Elijah always precedes the glory of God or the rain. Because God always wants, like Pastor Bell would say, God always wants the heart of the people turned to him first. God is after the heart. Amen?
Amen.
So when we are backsliding, many times we'll just say, God bless me, take care of my mistake. God says, the most important thing is your heart. And repentance is turning your heart back to God. That is the most important thing. So every move of God is always preceded by a call to repentance. And the anointing that always precedes that, the Bible says, the spirit of Elijah. So basically, what we just experienced in this Feast of Tabernacle at the interlude, the climax of our 40 days, is an alignment and the process of a move of God in our midst. But it was positioned for the city and for the nation. Everybody is empowered in many ways, but one little thing that God has allowed me the grace, even as I see dimly through the glass, but one area that God has given me grace for, both locally and nationally, is discerning times and seasons. And that's why we hear what we hear and understand what we are experiencing. I shared the 9 blessings that God gave to us a year ago and how I didn't really quite understood how that looks like. And this year, God now opened my understanding and said, look back. As I looked back, I was able to see what those 9 blessings mean and how it has started looking back. And then we talked about looking forward, how to look forward with those 9 blessings and be positioned for what God is doing. So we shared that, we prayed, we released the impartation and the process with the tent. But I want to quickly this morning, briefly interpret this 40 days process. And I want to share with you what happened to me this morning. I wasn't expecting it. I said it last night, we've entered the season of the suddenly. I didn't know the Lord would start with me. It happened by the time I could get over everything that happened And I had the ability to look at the clock on my right. It was 3:40 this morning. It's a very simple word. But before I share that, let me just interpret the atmosphere we are in. Because we see things happen and sometimes we just quickly forget. There are three feasts of the Lord, three major feasts. There are seven of them, but there are three major ones, and all the feasts are connected to those three, the seven feasts. The three major ones, is what we call the Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they are all harvest feasts. The middle one is the Feast of Pentecost. And the last one, which takes place in the seventh month, the Feast of Tabernacles. Every one of them are harvest feasts. Passover prepares the way for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These three feasts are called a harvest feast. For example, the first of the first fruits in Leviticus 23 comes from the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. That's like Jesus, the first of the first from the dead when it happened in his time. Pentecost was the feast of first fruits. Unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground, it will die. But if it dies, it produces more fruit. Feast of first fruits, or Pentecost fruits. And the Feast of Tabernacles begins with the trumpets and then atonement. By the tabernacles, it's called the Feast of Ingathering in the area of harvest. Ingathering of harvest. But these three feasts, the area I want you to understand relating to what just happened in these 40 days, where we are going, is the area I want to focus prophetically. Passover experience is more like salvation coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt. Children of Israel, we coming out of Egypt after Christ's blood was shed. So it's a form, it's a salvation experience, being born again. Pentecost is a revelation of the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Israel experienced it on the mountain. The church experienced it. It was born on in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Pentecost. It was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit on fire. But the tabernacle is the one most people don't understand, the symbolism of. The only way to understand it is this. Passover, they came out of Egypt. It's an experience. Pentecost, Moses went to the first mountain, and Moses experienced God on Mount Sinai, on Pentecost. He came back with the tablets of stone, with the word of the Lord. He destroyed it. And then God said, you're coming back again. He went to the second mountain experience. In that mountain experience was when Moses experienced the glory of the Lord. He's already experienced Pentecost. But this time he experienced tabernacle. Because in tabernacle, Moses' face was covered with the glory of God. Literally. It was a covering. Moses was in that mountain and he experienced the glory of the Lord. And when he experienced the glory of God, that's where Moses says, in Exodus 33:34, he said, and don't take us any further unless you go with us. Unless you're with us, literally. And God says, okay, I will go with you, but I have to go with you with this, if you can build this. And God gave Moses the blueprint of the tabernacle. So God, they built everything about the tabernacle, they all the outer court, everything, and they built the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And then as soon as they dedicated it on the first day of the first month, the glory of God came and covered the place. So God went with them from that point through the 40 days journey. There is God with us. That's the baptism of the Spirit, the awareness of the Holy Ghost in us, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but there is a different awareness of we in Him. Paul says, in Him I live, in Him I move, in Him I am. That's a total different experience, even though it's a promise. There was one time the Bible says the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. It was a tabernacle experience. He was overshadowed by the glory of the Lord. And the length to which the sun shadow, people were getting healed. Tabernacle experience is one of the experiences where you don't, the laying on of hands is wonderful, but tabernacle experience is when you literally experience the glory of God and the manifestation of all that is God without a man touching. Tabernacle is the covering. So, in Hebrew, literally, the memorial of the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Booths, God told Israel to do it as a memorial every year, and this is what the reason He told them. One, that they will remember that God dwelled with them in tents. So they leave their homes and stay in the tents. But two, apart from the harvest, two, is for them to always remember that the Lord covered them with His glory for 40 years. Israel lived for 40 years under the covering of the glory of God. By day, with a cloud, by night, with fire. They literally tabernacled under the glory of the Lord. Their clothes did not wear out. Serpents of the wilderness didn't touch them, except when they sinned. They did not hunger because supernatural God provided. Water followed them everywhere they go. This was in the wilderness. They had natural air conditioner because of the cloud of the glory of God. And at night they had divine electricity. Fire by night. 40. Tabernacle. We can go all through the Bible to describe tabernacle. That's salvation is coming out of the world into the kingdom. It's a cleaning, a lot of purification. The Holy Ghost baptism is to bring you into awareness of the manifestation of God in your life on a daily, 24/7. God, you have access to God. You can pray, you can see God, you can do. But tabernacle is a revelation that God is not just in you. You are in Him. And the one person that lived it and gave us the Old Testament revelation of tabernacle is David. And it's called Psalms 91. The place of tabernacle with God, David describing in Psalm 91, is the place that you are physically untouchable. Even though you're a natural man, there is a protection around you, and angels have been given charge around you that you go through trials, you go through persecution, but no human being, no Satan, no calamity, nothing in this world will cause you to leave this world before your time. Mm-hmm. You fulfill your assignment. Mm-hmm. Tabernacle is what God has prepared for the last day church. Before Jesus came, Paul saw the revelation, said it's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkles. That is a church filled with God. So, that's just a synopsis just of the experiences of the Lord interpreted through the feast outside of the harvest. Why did I share that? Because every time we take communion, it is easy. Every one of us, because it's foundational. Communion, Jesus said, when you take this, you do this in remembrance of what? Me. So when we took communion yesterday, it's not the blood we're taking, isn't it? But it's a symbol of the blood. Once we pray and consecrate it, the blood becomes symbol. Now, let me ask you, is that blood real today? When we're praying for people on the line, you that accepted the Lord today, or you that was going to, the prayer was, if you confess your sin and repent, that blood will touch you. It will cleanse you. You'll be born again. Every one of us here, we're not born 2,000 years ago. It's that blood that took us out of Satan's hand, out of the power, and translated us to become the sons of God. That blood still speaks. That blood is still alive. And it will be alive forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
But we remember it by using what? Communion. Communion is just remembering, like God told them when they came out of Egypt, that this will be a memorial. You're just reminding yourself you are a child of God by taking communion. Amen?
Amen.
That's what communion is. A remembrance of and the provisions. Now, how do we remind ourselves of, again, of the Pentecost? Because there are so many people today, they are born again, but they don't have anything to do with the baptism of the Spirit. And then those that are baptized with the Spirit sometimes don't remind themselves what it really means. I wear a ring. Anywhere I go, I wear a ring, isn't it? My wife doesn't have to be there, but the ring symbolizes what? I am married. It's a symbol. So Pentecost, consecrating that time, and consecrating that time in worship oil, is to remind yourself not just of the day the church was born, but of the time the Spirit of God was loosed in the earth. And what was the Spirit of God released in the earth? So it's a celebration of a memorial of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life on a daily basis. A lot of people don't have relationship with the Holy Spirit because they don't have something that reminds them that the Holy Spirit is here. Emmanuel. So that becomes a little struggle for us because we don't have a way to remind ourselves as often as we do in communion. Then the one that is completely out of reach or even mind of a lot of people is the tabernacle. Very few people have experienced the tabernacle experience in history, apart from the Moses and the Peter. And Wales Revival and Azusa Street. Little experiences of God coming to tabernacle. It's a tangible manifestation of the glory of God, or the angels of God covering the place. Amen? One of the ways God told Israel so they don't forget about tabernacle in the Old Testament is that every feast of tabernacle, they will leave their homes and stay in the tents so that they don't forget. For us, because most of us don't really have a lot of experience, the way God reminds me, you want to experience tabernacle, you want to live in it, you want to walk in it, seek after it. Our best memorial of tabernacle in the New Testament is Psalms 91. We quote it, we pray it, but we don't know. It should be a memorial expectation for every believer to walk in it. It's a supernatural covering. You don't have to see it to believe it. The first time God, you know, several times, but one of the times God reminded me of this tabernacle I'm seeking, even before we're entering now into a corporate experience of it, I will get there very soon, was what happened with Elisha's servant. The Syrian army, the physical army, came, surrounded the place. And he was afraid because he was looking in the physical. But there was an anointing upon Elisha, a double portion of what was on Elijah. And this is what Elijah told Elisha. He said, if you see it, I will release it. You will have. And so when Elijah was leaving, Elisha saw it. What did he saw? Chariots of fire. And said, my father, my father. When he cried, my father, means give me my inheritance. And it was released. The mantle was released. It was just a cloth. But it carried a heavenly anointing. From that time forward, something started happening. The other prophets saw from a distance. Only when they saw a miracle, they knew. But you don't have to see a miracle to believe it. They said the spirit of Elijah is upon Elijah. It was when they were facing the Syrian army, I understood tabernacle. The servant came, was afraid, was terrified, and then Elisha came outside. Elisha came and said, what's the problem? He said, look at this mountain. It's surrounded by the armies of the Syria. This man was living in the tabernacle. Yes. And he looked at his servant. He says, everything is okay. And he says, those that are with us are more. And this, you see. The servant didn't understand it. Just like when somebody speaks prophetically or prays, or we just, these things are heavenly realities. Covenant. God is asking us. Paul says, I have not apprehended, but I press on to the mark of the prize of these promises. I can't just live every day trying to be saved and saved and saved and saved. And God is telling me I can live in heavenly places with Him in experience. I can't live every day, all I'm still dealing with is sin, 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 sin. Paul says, living the foundations of salvation. I'm not saying we're perfect, but you know what I mean by it. So Elijah said, open what? His eyes. open my servant's eyes. And the Bible says, what? His eyes were open. Which eyes was open? That was the eyes that was blinded at the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve lost their tabernacle. And they started seeing in the flesh. Before sin, they were clothed with God's glory. But when they sinned, their eyes opened. They were seeing flesh. So, that's what we are seeing today. Elisha's servant was seeing what you can only see from the fall. And that's the limitations of man and the problems of man and the enemies of man, the Syrian army. Basically, Elijah was saying, close their sinful eyes and open his righteous eyes of understanding. When that opened, he saw that, not that they would come, he saw that they were dwelling around Elijah. The chariots of God. That's where God is calling us. David says the angels of the Lord encamp. Not they will come and encamp. They encamp. As I'm talking to you, God is saying the angels of the Lord are with you wherever you are. If you have the fear of God, if you're a child of God. But we have not exercised our spiritual senses enough to walk in that awareness. That's what we're pressing into. So, because these things were left for a few people here and there, God reserved it for a corporate experience. For the last day church. It's not going to be this person or that person. The last day church, the church we are coming into, the church that God is preparing now from this separation moment, is going to live in it. There were tastes of it in Azusa, Wales. It was literally the atmosphere of heaven in a corporate garden. That's where we're going. Amen? Amen? So, let me just move quickly forward. Because we can stay, we can just park on that place. Expectation. Again, you know, when we preach this word, I'm not saying I'm there, but the one thing I can tell you, I have refused to think nothing less than these places. So, as we're preparing for these 40 days and consecrating ourselves, God uses metaphor to speak to us prophetically in the spirit. God uses the physical to give us spiritual understanding. Right in this season, and everything we've been sharing and talking about what God has been doing, and we see the butt pains already began, share with you how Israel is 70. I mean, all this bringing understanding. So we enter these 40 days seeking the Lord, crying, and God gave that understanding for this to finish on the tabernacles. And believing God for whatever happened in Passover and then whatever happened during Pentecost, believing God now to enter into the next level of what God is doing physically right now. So we're engaged in this prayer. And I'm so glad many of you entered into it. That's why I started with the Thanksgiving. Because if you, your corporate prayer is the reason why I was blessed this morning. It happened so quick. And by the time I was busy, and I've not even told my wife, but she doesn't know about it. Because it happened this morning. So, what happened was, there are things God has revealed to me personally. And some things I've shared with this house for many years. I always make reference to 1991 about destiny. And God wanted to confirm this season in an undeniable way. Not spirit. To bring spirit to the physical. God raised up a prophet in this city. So sensitive to the spirit. Now that I've got to know him. Raised him up. God has been preparing him. Came right here. And something happened. The Spirit of God did something. Fused our relationship. Meshed us and those people. And right here, one of those days, I don't repeat that because to me repeating it sounds very prideful. But those of you were here when this happened. That's what I'm saying. Our human minds, without interpretation, it's just easy to overlook miracles. Something happened here that none of us wants to repeat. I was sitting right there. Somebody that we've never worked together brought a scripture that God revealed years ago to speak, to tell, to share to Messiah specifically me, that I am giving you assurance that this season is like no other season. It's a time of fulfillment. That was the message for me from that. I knew exactly what everything they did meant. I knew what the scriptures meant. I couldn't take it. After everything, I went and I processed. Says to God, I started going back, looking at various confirmations and looking at God. And then God gave me, of course, the vision for the tent. I said, what does the tent mean? And then God specifically told him from the 4th to the 9th. That's how much he's led. As we started going to the tent, all the Lord told him was build an altar. Everything he's doing is there in the scriptures. And not only in the scriptures, in the very scriptures God was revealing to me about the season. And I shared a little bit with him. I was amazed how accurate this man was led by the Spirit. And I looked at every process. I said, Lord, you are confirming this thing in the physical. What does this mean? I don't want to get too excited. I don't want to imagine things. So I just kept, like Mary, keeping these things in my heart as I watched. On the last day, before the last day, he said, everybody was praying. Every other revival or meetings or meet, when people have a taste of what is happening there, they don't have to wait on God. They're just going to continue. Because the expectations was building. But this is a man that waits. After much prayer, he said, I've really got a clarity from the Lord. Where to stop the day God says stop. Once again, confirming and fulfilling exactly the plan of God that God was revealing to me. Because I knew that stopping on that day was prophetically confirming what happened here, releasing the next thing. Some of the things they don't know that I know. So I knew God was passing the baton. Because Mount Zion has a picture of what was happening. So, a lot of things happened. We sailed into prayer, and the Lord started speaking. He says, just like we went in there to the tabernacle, just like Noah entered the ark. I won't go into all those details. Just like this. Just like the communion is a symbol of the blood. The real blood. Just like Pentecost, of course. It's just like the tabernacle. That was a symbol of the season of the glory of God in one man's eye. The glory of God visiting this city. We're looking at the physical, but God is speaking in the spiritual realm, based on our 40 days alignment with the season. Let me stop there. This might be too deep for a lot of you. But why did I go this far? Because I don't want to go too deep. Why did I go this far? Because among all the things the Lord was revealing this morning after this Sinner's Prayer, I was woken up by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord started awakening something in my spirit, speaking. Last year, I shared this, the year of favor and vengeance, went through everything I went with you last time. But this year is different. I shared it last night. Looking into the next 1 year, it will be different. For those that might be watching for the first time, before I say this, let me just give you a testimony just really quick so you don't think I'm just talking. Before Passover, I had a visitation. I shared it to this house that, first of all, the Lord told me he would visit me on Pentecost. And before then, God was giving me glimpses of things that I was seeing in the newspaper the next 2 days or the next 3 days. And he was telling me, I'm preparing you with these confirmations. And then that visitation on Pentecost actually took place. And that's the one that really, really arrests my heart. When he says, if he doesn't visit, I was okay. I missed that. I'm still learning his voice. But whenever he says, I will, and he does, I take those things seriously. That's how I got married to Keziah. It was one of those kind of times. So the Lord actually visited in 24-hour period. Saturday, there was a visitation where God revealed to me about the days of Noah. I shared it. Then, the Sunday morning, because of that visitation Saturday, I came here Sunday morning waiting on the Lord to see if he would just fit. And then I fell into sleep after praying. And in that sleep, I had this vision and this visitation very clear. And I shared it in this house that Sunday morning on Pentecost Sunday about Pastor Donald Trump. You all were here. That was Pentecost. The fullness of that has not happened, but a sign of it happened. A glimpse of it took place. On the first day of Tabernacles, when I went to marry that young girl in Columbus, in Ohio. That day, the president of the greatest nation in the world had COVID. When I saw him, he looked beaten up, looked and was coming. And you remember, I said, are you okay? What? Before he just collapsed. So something started before something happened. I said it, I shared it. I don't know all, but the interpretation later, I shared on the Sunday night, I started going forward. I said, this might mean either the collapse of, remember we talked about the the wheat and the tares. And we talked about the tares. When you hear me talk about the collapse or the judgment of America, we're talking about the tares. Because God is going to lift up his plan in America, which is the wheat. So always remember that. We'll talk about God shaking America. Everybody, we're talking about God dealing with witchcraft, the tares, the foundation of darkness that is not seen. So that's what I always refer to. So I received the interpretation as maybe that's, you know, President Trump symbolizes the nation as a head. And maybe that would mean collapse. But I don't know about personally him and whatever happens. And here on the first Pentecost, we see the first day of Tabernacles, the president has COVID and was taken from the White House and was put in a military hospital. For a few days, the president was hospitalized. That's a glimpse of what you just had a few months ago, just happened right here as a starting point. It was a sign. It was a sign. So, now we are tabernacles. The things God is showing us is all spiritual. So, some of us are probably like, I can't really see anything now. Last year, it happened just like this. We walked out, oh, nothing. But we didn't understand it until COVID came. We still didn't. We look back now, it makes sense. And I shared it. Now, what happened this morning? The Lord was showing me. And I want to read the scripture. Haggai chapter 2. I read the scripture from verse 2-6. It's talking about the latter move of God. For thus says the Lord God of hosts, yet once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall what? Come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord. I said it yesterday. We prayed into it yesterday, if you remembered. Now I went, we all went home. I don't want to go into those details. I told you from what I received, there will be shaking before the glory. But before the shaking, God has to keep us in the ark. The ark is a tabernacle. It's a sign that we are in the ark. It's a sign we are in a spiritual ark. The physical tabernacle is a sign and a confirmation that God has called us into a Psalm 91 covering. But we are going to visibly see it after God separates the wheat from the chaff. After God separates the tares. Because he cannot cover both. Cannot cover darkness and light. I said it. So the shaking and the purpose of the shaking is to create a separation. Is to purge. That which fears God, that which is true, that which is holy, that which is righteous, from that which is vain, that which is profane, that which is hypocritical. And then, God will now manifest his glory. And then, that will cause this to repent and cause the world to turn. But God cannot jumble his glory in the midst of a polluted church. So the purpose of the shaking is to purify and separate. And then glory comes with signs and wonders. That was what I was trying to share with you. And I went home. So as I went home, this visitation came this morning. All I can share with you since I've read this is this. The Lord was saying to me, He says, all these years has been years of preparation. And everybody knows it. But now, Mount Zion is stepping gradually into his destiny. He says, the vision will tarry. Though it tarry, wait. For it will not tarry. It will what? Speak. It will speak. And the Lord says, I want to assure you of that scripture, Ezekiel 12. I will destroy that proverb that the words of prophecy are prolonged. The things I will be revealing from now, they will be things that are soon to happen. So the people will know this is no more talking. This is no more waking. I want to be specific. Because you said there will be a shaking from now. We will not recognize things from now till next year. So the people don't yet understand and they don't yet believe. But I want to be specific so that they will, when they see the signs, they will know. And those that see but they can't see now, and hear they cannot hear now, and their hearts are still hardened, I will provide a sign for them. And the sign means I'll be specific. Say, so I give you the permission to be specific about this, what I'm telling you to do. So the Lord said, say it. And be specific. I've told you from now, so suddenly till next year, will not recognize things. One of the things you watch for now, going forward, watch for it. When you see it, it's a sign. Because after that, there will be several things coming. Different seasons. Those will be spelled out. Say, give them this sign. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not telling you the time, but I'm just telling you is the sign for you to watch for from now in the season, in the spirit of season going forward. Mount Zion, you can save this broadcast. Those of you that have it, you can forward it and you can put it there and write it down. Thank God it's been recorded. Everybody has the sound of my voice hearing this. When this sign happens, God will hold you accountable because you require a sign. The COVID is not enough to shape people to run after their destiny. And God says, I will give them a sign. There is an earthquake coming. This earthquake will shake America like a leaf. This earthquake that is coming will be so destructive that if you think COVID caused financial collapse or you think it disrupted something in America, I'm not talking about America, this earthquake is just a sign. Maybe somebody will wake up after them. And then we're going to see what happens from there. And the reason God said give this sign is, I want everybody here to know the hour for you to speak has come. And the things you speak, I give you permission to speak, heaven will confirm it. Remember, God is dealing with the tears and the foundation of the tears. Remember what we said again, the purpose of the shaking is for redemption. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. No amount of preaching. Look at people in Mount Zion that love God so much, but still, a lot of them are still sleeping. He received the best. How much more, a lot of people that are out there, how much more? The generation of Noah, God will have to shake them awake to draw them for redemption. So, you that are looking for sign, you have a sign coming. And it's a very massive, unprecedented earthquake coming. And that earthquake will speak to the foundation, to the finance, to the nation. It says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake kingdoms, and then my glory will fill the house. People will come. Isaiah 60. They will come. That's number one sign. The rest will be kept. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen after that. Just like with COVID came, nobody knew. I'm just trying to be clear. I don't know all that will happen. But one thing I know, when it comes, you will see it. And when you see it, that's all the sign you need. Because every other thing, you're not ready for it. That sign will prepare you for it. To be promotion for the righteous. And it will be an awakening and a humbling for those who don't fear God. This move of God has started. The Lord says the move of God has started. The prophetic move of God begins with the shepherd. An awakening. It's not like the way it happened before. And people have been, it has started. And shaking is what it started with. And then the glory will overtake. So watch out. Again, like I said yesterday, if you've not gone to get something, buy something and keep in your house at this point, you better go do that. Just for a few days. Again, I'm not giving you a date or a time, but I'm just letting you know, watch for unprecedented earthquake. After that earthquake, you will not miss what you have to hear next. The Lord said, I'm giving you permission to say that now. Have obeyed. What I'm saying to you right now, I've sent it to two prominent leaders in America. As a first thing this morning, as the Lord spoke, I tested them this information. Talking to you. So I'm not just talking. I don't care about anybody really now. When God says, I don't care about what people think. I have made so many mistakes in the past. And God says, I will shut your mouth until it starts. Started with COVID. Now he says, I'm opening your mouth. Because it's clear. So I thank God for what he's doing. Amen. Yeah. Expect your miracle. Expect what God is doing. It's an exciting time. It's a time of your promotion. Enough has been said. You understand the season. So this is an exciting moment. It's a time for redemption. Time for God's promotion. Time for great things to happen. You've received your sign. Watch for it. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that these 40 days, you're giving us understanding. You're giving us clarity. Father, I'm so excited. I thank you, Father. I thank you for giving me an opportunity to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be laughed at. But I'm so happy because you are so faithful. To vindicate and redeem. And your moment has come. Glorify your name. And let it be known. It was not the voice of a man. But it's the voice of your spirit. Let those who have ears to hear. Hear what the spirit says.